This is Confidence on the Go with your host, the pink-loving, unicorn-chasing, caffeine-fueled student of fitness and confidence, Trish Blackwell. This is a podcast community that celebrates life and pursues living a life worth telling a story about. You have uncommon potential within you, and you're in the right place to unleash it. Here's your host, Trish.
What's up? It's Trish Blackwell. You are listening to episode number 112 of Confidence on the Go. And so if you're a first-time listener, huge virtual high five and giant hug to welcome you to the show. If you're a returning listener, same thing to you, because we are a family. We are a community. We hang out live every Tuesday. I'm so honored to be part of your journey. I want you to know that I value your time. And this show is about how to elevate yourself to the next level of life, how to really be the best version that you can be. And I mean that mentally, physically, and spiritually, through your mind, your movement, and your meaning in life, so that we can really be more of who we can be, more of who we were meant to be, really fulfill our purpose in life. So today I am talking about, today's topic is bad habits. And I came across a question. It's a question I thought and asked myself, and I thought, wow, it was something I had to struggle and wrestle with, to be honest with you. And so much so, I said, this is a great podcast topic. So I need to make sure it gets out there to the Be More community. So here's the question. What one bad habit do you really need to change in your life right now? What one bad habit do you really need to change in your life right now? Now, this might be a habit that you've thought about for months, weeks, days, or let's go the other way, years, but possibly one that maybe you don't even realize that you have. So we're going to be talking today about bad habits, how to identify what bad habits in your life are actually holding you back, which ones are actually detrimental to you. What I consider, I came up with a list of 43 top bad habits I think that we sort of tolerate too often. Also, we're going to talk about a surefire strategy on how to get rid of your bad habit. Once you really decide what is that one bad habit that I need to get rid of and really change my life right now, here's the strategy on how to do that. And then really how to set yourself up with confidence so that you don't go back to your old bad habits. So real habit replacement isn't about just breaking a habit. We're going to go into this today and dig deep into the fact that we can't really break a habit. Instead, we want to replace it with something else. And so when you replace a habit, it's so easy, because if you're not focused on it and you haven't set yourself up correctly so you succeed, it's so easy to fall back in your old bad habits. Now that becomes this cycle that becomes very disruptive and also discouraging. So I want to make sure at the end of the show today, I equip you with just my two cents on how I think we can really set ourselves up and our minds up to be confident that, you know what, I've made these changes, and so I am not who I once was. I am who I am now. These new habits are going to help mold and define my pathway. That means the path and the decisions you've made in your past have nothing to do with the pathway of your future. Now they've paved the way, they've gotten you from there to here. But now as we're here and we're looking to move there, the habits that you decide with intention are what's going to carry you to the there that you want to be. So before we dive into this concept of habits, you guys know I always like to give a big shout out to anyone who's written a review in iTunes. That is the best way to just say thank you. If I've ever given you anything in this show that has just inspired you, uplifted you, made you smile, or really been applicable to your life, the best way to thank me is to help the show grow by writing a review in iTunes, so that more people like you and like me can stumble upon a happy accident in iTunes one day. So big thank you and shout out to Jennifer Madison for writing a review this week. Also, if you have not yet read the book, The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg, I had to go back into it as I was preparing for this week's podcast, because it's just one of the best books I've ever read on habit creation. And so I'm going to start today's topic talking about just some of my favorite highlights from Charles Duhigg's book. If you have not yet read this book, it is a must read. If you are looking to really repave the habits of your life, you need The Power of Habit. A couple things that he highlights. Here's a quote. He says, when a habit emerges, the brain stops fully participating in decision making. It stops working so hard or diverts focus to other tasks. So unless you deliberately fight a habit, unless you find new routines, the pattern will automatically unfold. He talks a lot about habits are based off of a cue and then a behavior and then a reward. So there's a cue and a reward that happens. Another word for cue would be a trigger and then a reward or an outcome or something that you are drawn towards. And in between, to get from your trigger or your cue to your reward is that behavior that you are exhibiting. So to change an old habit, you have to address an old craving. So for me, one of my old bad habits when I was really in the thick of my eating disorder was binge eating, was overeating. Now, there's a lot of layers to that. So by no means do I mean to simplify this. But one of the things that I had to work through in my own personal development and discovery was to assess that the desire for me to overeat, the emotional desire to find comfort in food or use food as a drug, and to seek solace by numbing myself through eating or distracting myself even, realizing that what was the reward there? The cue was that I felt emotionally empty. The reward was that I was able to feel not like that for a short period of time. Now, what was unfortunate about that particular habit is once you're done eating, that reward is replaced with guilt or actually sometimes feelings of feeling physically ill. But for me to change that habit of overeating, I had to change my old craving, and the craving was for something to distract me from my real emotions. So for me, I had to realize that, gosh, I was unwilling to address my real emotions. My craving wasn't for necessarily a distraction or alternative to my emotions. My craving was for a solution to the emotions that I felt, an ability to work through emotions. And so that's a complicated example, but you can make this as simple or as complicated as possible in your own, depending on your own circumstances. But to change an old habit, you must address an old craving. Now, Duhigg also continues, and he writes that for some habits, in addition to this concept of we're doing a replacement of habits by replacing our behavior outcomes, the rewards that we're going to get, the old cravings, what are we ultimately desiring? What is this habit? How did this habit form? What was it ultimately that we were after? Once we identify that, then we can find a way to replace that or find an alternative behavior to get us to that solution. But he also writes that for some habits, however, there's one other ingredient that is necessary: belief. You need the capacity to believe that things will get better. I love that. You need the capacity to believe that things will get better. He also writes that we know a habit cannot be eradicated. It must instead be replaced. And then the last thing I wanted to share that he wrote that I just think is so powerful, because when we're thinking, I think often when we go to the thought about changing habits, we think, okay, I just don't have the willpower to do it. I mean, I can't tell you how many of my clients have said, Trish, I'm struggling to get the willpower to change this habit, this behavior. And I wanted to touch on what he shares about willpower. He says, willpower isn't just a skill. It's a muscle. Like the muscles in your arms or legs, and it gets tired as it works harder, and there's less power left over for other things. So it's no coincidence that it's really easy to stick to a new diet throughout the day, but because you have really good willpower all day long. And as you get towards the end of the day, your willpower is dying off because you're getting tired, but also because your willpower muscle has been engaged the entire day. So it means that you need to be on guard when you're weak, when you know your willpower is dying down. Now, what that also means is that as you continue to be intentional about training your willpower like a muscle, as if you were working out your willpower, which is ultimately what we're doing when I'm talking about replacing bad habits with good ones. We're ultimately working out and walking out our willpower to change and replace behaviors and cues and rewards. So the more you train that muscle, the longer that muscle is going to last. So eventually and ultimately, as you replace and work towards replacing a habit, it's so exciting that you don't have to be discouraged that you didn't change your habit overnight. But if you can make a tiny baby step of progress towards changing that habit day after day after day, I want you to think about it and realize that your willpower muscle towards replacing that habit with something that's more positive is actually growing stronger and stronger every day. It's like someone who's never run, running their first mile, and then a couple weeks later running 5 miles in a row, a couple weeks later running 10 miles in a row, a couple weeks later, months later running a marathon. So you will find yourself, as you train your willpower with the right attitude, and like he said previously, this attitude and confidence that you believe that you have the ability to make these changes. That as you do that, your willpower is going to grow from the beginning of the day, and it's going to last you where it might maybe would teeter off at 6 p.m. and start sliding down. That your willpower has the strength to last the whole day. It's got the endurance. It is long lasting. So as we think about these bad habits, and as you consider what good habits you're going to be replacing with the bad habits that you might want to address in your life right now, I want you to keep this in perspective. Rome wasn't built in a day, and your habit's not going to change overnight, nor does it need to. I mean, it would be in an ideal world, though, that'd be great. It'd be awesome. But I think what's also awesome is the patience and perseverance that we learn by walking through the training of our willpower, by walking through baby step after baby step, day after day of making small little steps of progress. Because it's the progress that matters, not the perfection of the ultimate goal. So the three steps to really identifying a pattern and a bad habit as you think about your life. Okay, so this is awesome. I'm on board with you, Trish. Like, I get this willpower. That's exciting. But how do I know what habits are good or bad in my life? First, you want to identify your habits in general. So not just your bad habits or good habits. I just want you to take a look at your day and your life and think, what are my habits? And the interesting thing about habits is we so often don't realize that we're engaging in them because they become automated. They become systematic things and disciplines that we set ourselves up to do. So I systematically, when I wake up in the morning, I use the bathroom, and then I turn the sink on, I pick up my toothbrush, and I start brushing. I never really intentionally say to myself, I should brush my teeth, because I've created the habit that comes after I've peed, after I've had a glass of water and I pee, and then I brush my teeth. So you sort of had to step back first and just assess the automated part of your life and say, what am I doing that I'm often not thinking about? Why do I do the things that I do? Because those are where our habits lie. So we're going to assess those habits. They're the things that we're doing subconsciously that we've ingrained and taught ourselves to do. After you do that, you're going to separate and identify which ones are what you think might be positive for you or ones that might be negative. And I want you to take ownership. So my second step for you is to own. So I've got identify, own, and our third one, I'll give you the hint. It's actually going to be replace. But ownership is once you've identified these habits, what is it that own? Be honest with yourself. Is this a good thing for me or is it not? Is it good that I play on my phone at night instead of giving my husband my full attention? No. So it's going to stop. Is it good that you might watch more TV than you mean to, even though you want to read more, it's just so much easier to read? Well, you have a habit of watching TV versus a habit of picking up your book and turning and lighting a candle. So be honest with yourself about whether this is good based on where you want to take your life or not good. And you might be, this could be an interesting exercise to be doing in your own personal reflection, because you might actually be able to see that you have a lot of really great good habits in your life, and they should be celebrated. The things that you're doing well should be celebrated. And then ultimately, that final step that we've already talked about is replacing it. But you can't replace the habit until you first identify it and then take ownership of it and assess it, deciding if it's a positive habit or a negative habit and whether or not it actually needs to be replaced. So I promised to help you get your kind of juices flowing for today, as you think about, you know, identifying your habits, good and bad, I came up with a list of 43 bad habits that I think a lot of us have allowed to infiltrate into our lives without being aware. Now, some of these things are And we say, well, it's just how I am. And I just want to be honest with you, it's not. Sometimes these cop-outs that we use as, oh, that's just me, they're habits that we've created in our character and reflections of that. Some of these things that I can identify with and add to my bad habit list are honestly their laziness, their lack of full engagement in certain areas of my life. Doesn't make it okay. I just need to know that it's there and then say, now, okay, now that I know, what am I going to do about it? So let me just run through the list, and the list is going to be available in the show notes. And also, in case you didn't know this, I keep my show notes at my website, trishblackwell.com, and then /112 for episode number 112, which is this episode. So bad habit number one, procrastination. Bad habit number two, tardiness. I'm going to put you on pause for a second. I am going to resist the dying temptation that I have already to really elaborate point by point on each one of these, because y'all, I could do a whole podcast episode on each one of these, and I really want to be short, sweet, concise, and powerful in this content for you, so that my talking about a habit is not going to get you distracted to realize what habit is that you actually fall into. So I'm going through the list. This is hard for me because I don't know why. I just chat. I mean, I want to tell you everything I think about each one of these 43 items, but I'm not going to. I'm going down the list. That is your side note there. And let's roll back from the top. This whole list, again, will be in the show notes. And perhaps I will do a whole podcast episode on some of these, the really ones, the hot ones that come up. So anyways, here we go. Number one, procrastination. Bad habit number two, tardiness. Number three, nighttime snacking. Number four, excuses. Number five, over-apologizing. Number six, cussing or using lazy language. Number seven, speaking negatively of yourself. Number eight, binge eating. Number nine, smoking cigarettes. Number 10, abusing alcohol. Number 11, driving aggressively. Number 12, texting while driving. Number 13, relying too much on processed and packaged foods. Number 14, not drinking enough water. Number 15, going to bed too late. Number 16, watching too much television. Number 17, reality television. Number 18, distraction from being engaged in too much social media. Number 19, negativity. Number 20, complaining. Number 21, gossiping. Number 22, lack of belief in self. Number 23, distracted listening. Number 24, dwelling on the past. Number 25, obsessing over the future. Number 26, going to the fridge when bored. Number 27, second guessing yourself. Number 28, broadcasting your life on social media for affirmation from others. Number 29, self-doubt. Number 30, letting clutter rule your life. And that's physically, like actually real clutter and metaphorical clutter. Number 31, disorganization. Number 32, not exercising enough. Number 33, exercising too much. Number 34, expecting the worst to happen and the worst of others. Number 35, eating too much sugar. Number 36, relying too much on caffeine. Number 37, biting your nails. Number 38, not making your bed. Number 39, not having clear, set goals in your life. Number 40, poor communication with others. Number 41, over-Googling. And you know what I mean? Over-researching something, over-diagnosing yourself. Going to Google as the be-all and end-all. Number 42, living with too much noise and distraction. And number 43, impatience. Now, I actually just thought of four more here. So let's make this list 47. So we're going up from 43 to 47. Your last four are Number 44, trying to do too much at one time. I'm hyper guilty of that. Number 45, fear of being uncomfortable and avoidance of pain. Number 46, meekness. Number 47, chewing too much gum. Now, the last one sounds ridiculous, but y'all, that's one of the ones I struggle with, so I had to put my own really bad habit on there. We'll talk about that in just a second, but that's my list of 47, and you know, they're kind of all over the spectrum there. And I wanted to highlight that some of the ones I mentioned, you might not have realized are bad habits: the negativity, the lack of self-belief, procrastination, self-doubt, second-guessing yourself. A lot of those that relate to confidence. Being that this is called Confidence on the Go, you know that this is a show about confidence. And that I believe, just like willpower, confidence is a muscle that we train over and over. So confidence is a habit. Confidence is therefore a habit. So anything that's expressing a lack of confidence in our life is a bad habit. So as you're assessing and reflecting on what are the bad habits in your life, I want you to think about specifically, what are the bad habits of confidence that I'm expressing and living out on a day-to-day basis that I can start to change right now? So again, we're going to ask yourself this week, what one bad habit do I need to replace? Now, I want you to notice I didn't say break. I said replace. Now, because I believe in transparency and authenticity, I'm going to share some of my answers with you. You already heard the gum one. And oh, y'all, it's really embarrassing. I actually don't even chew gum. I do. I chew it for like a minute because I have this weird obsession about having clean teeth. And it drives my husband crazy. I chew like 2 to 3 pieces at a time after I eat anything. And I spit it out within 30 to 45 seconds. And then throughout the day, so I'm going through 10 to 12 pieces of gum a day. And I actually have TMJ in my jaw. So really chewing gum for me in any capacity is not a good thing. And then my ultimate, now I'm really embarrassing myself. My ultimate bad habit is, because I know I'm not chewing the gum, I'm a really big fan of canned club soda. So if I'm sitting and holding a can of club soda, I don't know, on the couch with my husband, I'll take my piece of gum and save it for later on the can. It's terrible. It's this big wad of gum and it's so disgusting. And it grosses him out. It grosses me out, but I still do it. And I'm like, well, what if I want it later? And I never do want it later. I always just go get another piece of gum. Anyways, so that's my really ridiculous bad habit that needs to be replaced. But also, in the past, I really did struggle in fact, my whole life was lined with bad habits of self-limiting thoughts, self-doubt, binge eating and nighttime eating, compulsive exercise, over-exercising, an overindulgence on sugar. And also being consumed by social media and reality TV. Those were habits that really defined me. And you know what? They defined me and they built these walls of limitation around my life. And when I realized that those were the bad habits holding me back, I started replacing them and changing them. So now, I want to be transparent with you. The ones I'm currently working on replacing and growing in my willpower with are, as I said, the ridiculous kind of quirk with gum that I have. Not having enough margin in my life, being that I don't have enough space sometimes built in between things I'm trying to do, not enough white space in my calendar. And thankfully with little baby Ellie, man, she's forcing me to have that white space. So that is awesome. It's so cool to see that work in progress. And also related to that, this is a bad habit I've really carried with me my whole life. And it has to do, I think it's a byproduct of my drive, that kind of personality that I have, is impatience. Is I want things to happen right now, and you know I like to get things done really quickly. And so learning to slow down. And God bless my husband. I'm an ultimate type A. He's an ultimate type B, and he really balances me out. And that you add that, and you add a baby and a puppy to the mix, it's like God saying, "Yeah, let's put the brakes on Trish." He's making me slow down, and making me in that slowing down process, I'm learning to grow in patience and learning that. And so it's kind of cool as you identify these, they're weaknesses, they're opportunities to grow through these weaker habits. It's so cool that once you become aware of them and you make an intentional decision to say, I want to change this. I want to substitute this for something else that's more positive, you can then see, it's so exciting to acknowledge that growth when you see that growth happening. And so while you're going and walking through the steps that aren't always glamorous, like the patience, some of the best lessons in patience I've learned recently are when Ellie's, inconsolably screaming and crying. And I've done everything possible. Now she's an extremely happy baby. Oh, I mean, almost all the time. So these are rare occasions, but she's a baby. And so she's going to have those moments. And there are times, I'm sure, for every parent out there, where you just imagine that scenario where you go, wow, there's nothing else I can do. And I don't know why you're screaming. And what would typically have been unbearable for me after 30 seconds, I don't know, a couple months ago, I can go for 30 minutes now and not be a bit off guard. I'm not even, my feathers aren't even ruffled. So cool to see. Now, it's not, like I said, that's not a glamorous way to learn patience at all. In fact, sounds kind of miserable when I'm relaying the story. But when you see it from the viewpoint of saying, wow, God is helping me substitute and replace this habit. And the bad habit of impatience is being substituted with a pattern of patience. So as you ask yourself this question and you take and really go at it with ownership and honesty of saying, what are my good habits? What are my bad ones? Assess when you identify which bad habits, I'd recommend not starting with more than three. Ideally, just start with one that you're thinking about. But if there's two or three that kind of relate, you can certainly take them as a group. But I want you to ask yourself, how has this bad habit affected your life in a negative way? We have to take a look at the rewards that the outcomes of these bad habits that we become blind to. I want you to highlight to yourself, what is the outcome of this bad habit? How has it, expressed itself in my life? And then taking that question one step further, how will your life change without that bad habit? How would your life change? How will your life be different when that bad habit changes? Will your weight loss come about? Will you finally go and have the courage to speak up for yourself at the parent teacher conference? Are you going to pursue that dream vision of that your business? What is it? What are the bad habits that are setting you up to have limitations right now? Now, what will life be without those habits? Now, what would life be like with that bad habit replaced with the opposite, something that is the opposite of that bad habit, that is a good habit that takes you above that wall, that limiting wall that kept you back? What's life going to look like? What would life be if your entire life and your the way you walk your life is surrounded with habits that little flowers and plants that every seed you plant is a habit. And you're watering each habit every single day. And around you is growing this garden of your life that's beautiful and flourishing. That's how I like to think about habits. So they're little flowers I'm watering all the time. So that as I walk through my life, I've got this like wonderful little garden that's walking along with me. And as I walk along, my garden's not perfect yet, but it's still pretty, and it's getting prettier and prettier every single day as that sun shines and as God waters those flowers through the experiences that I'm experiencing. And remember, habits aren't eliminated, they are replaced. So as you think about how to replace that habit, replace it and then move with confidence. Do it again and again. Know that it's not a one and done. These are decisions and actions that you're going to do over and over again. And you also have to keep in mind that for a lot of us, the bad habits that we've formed are things that we've learned subconsciously over the years. We haven't even realized we're doing some of these things, whether they're bad habits of thought or bad habits of action. They've taken years to really cement themselves into our lives. So give yourself grace as you're going to progress forward, but know that you'll stumble. You're going to fall back a little bit into your bad habits, but that doesn't mean you're engaging your bad habit again. It means you had a small step back and that's it, that you're still moving forward in the right direction. So that's what I mean by moving on confidently. So I have three ways for you to really take action on today's episode. Number one, we've already said, select then your number one bad habit that you need to change. Number two, determine how your life will be different. So ultimately, what's the reward of changing this habit with this new habit change, with a substitution? And then take action. Start this week and make this week the declaration that this habit is now being replaced. Today is the day you replace this habit. Not tomorrow. You don't need till tomorrow to think about it. You just need today. So make that decision today and proclaim it out loud for yourself today. And then number three, if you really want to take action, you can sign up for the Emerge Experience, which is my signature program. It's a 7-day program. If you're really looking for to make significant change and to really, like we were talking about, that garden, emerge and watch that habit bloom. Watch the beautiful habits in your life bloom like flowers that just surround you and walk with you wherever you go. So the Emerge Experience can be a keystone habit, actually, to help you structure this next week, now that you've made a decision to change your habit today, to really substitute and replace it. So that is a great, great option for those of you who really want that structure and who are really serious about saying, yeah, it's time to replace some things. It's time to take some action. So you can find out more about Emerge at trishblackwell.com/emerge, EMERGE. Now let's roll on to the listener of the episode, and then we'll close out the show and we will hang out next week. So listener of the episode this week, her name is Sadie. Now, I gotta let you know, my favorite baby doll's name was Sadie. I love that name, and I love my baby doll. In fact, she got beat up. It's the one baby doll or stuffed animal that you were inseparable from. That was my Sadie. So, just, you know, coincidentally, this listener of the episode's name is Sadie. Here's what she says. I've taken some bits and pieces of an email that she shared with me. Trish, want to take a moment to thank you for your weekly words of encouragement and the inspiration that you bestow on each one of us. 3 years ago, just before my youngest started kindergarten, we found out his diagnosis of Asperger's syndrome, which is also accompanied by anxiety and OCD for him. Prior to that year, I struggled for many years with depression and anxiety of my own. 11 years ago, I struggled with an eating disorder while going through a very tough separation and divorce. You saved me from myself. I got tired of the therapy. It didn't work, or I just didn't have the time. I found my sanctuary in your podcasts. They encouraged me every day and gave me motivation to stay positive and know I could get through. I was listening to Bible teachings during the same time, empowering myself through the good book, knowing that God was by my side. You made me stronger, and He was and is there for me. I would find time, whether it be hitting the asphalt with my sneakers or curled up in my comfy chair listening to podcasts and reading encouraging books. I entitled this subject of this email, Pinky Power, because one of your podcasts one time referred to doing your superhero stance. Hands on your hips, chest out, and feet squared below you. My superhero stance empowers me, and I know this will sound stupid, but I feel like I'm an emanating pink, kind of like a Care Bear stare. Maybe that's before your time. Don't worry, Sadie, it's not. But on those really tough days, I just pinky power up and tell myself, this too will pass and I can handle it. Thanks again and keep up the great work with great appreciation because I have my life back, Sadie. And Sadie, first off, you're being highlighted as listener of the episode for, multiple of reasons. First off, your name is awesome. Secondly, Care Bear Stare, I'm with ya. I absolutely love the Care Bears. And I love the superhero stance, pinky power, this thought that, like, if you've got this go-to vision to visualize yourself confident. And I love that, this emanating pink confidence. And like, that just, I've got this great image. And I'm gonna take on the pinky power. So I'm totally stealing it from you. Great, great share on that. And then finally, you deserve to be highlighted, listen to the episode, because you are a victor. You are being victorious in mind and action and in how you're walking out your life and growing and pressing on through your own various types of personal development to really be the best version of yourself in spite of all these challenging circumstances that have really tried to sideline you. And you've not been sidelined from life. You're staying in the game of life and you're playing it hard and you're playing it with the mindset of a superhero. And for that reason, you are the listener of the episode. You guys have an amazing week. Get your Care Bear stare and your pinky power on. And pick that bad habit. Replace it starting today. Have an amazing day. Have an amazing week. Be more of who you are. Be you. Be free.
Thanks for listening. You can get more resources and coaching from Trish at www.trishblackwell.com. And if you love the show, please post a review in iTunes so that more people can join in on this community of confidence. Now, go conquer your day with confidence.